Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth. I am your host, Elder Lydia Johnson. Amen. Have you ever felt like everything is totally out of control? And by everything, I mean you, your life, me, my life. Before we know it, we have said something that we really didn't mean to say, and I mean didn't mean to say out loud, that is. And it starts us off on a roller coaster ride that all we want to do is get off. That is what sin does. It takes you where you don't want to go, with people you don't necessarily want to be with, and for reasons that most of the time we don't even remember. Oh, God, change me. I feel like a city with broken down walls. That is our topic for today. Oh, God, change me. A city with broken down walls. Proverbs 25 and 28 says this, he that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city with broken down walls. That city is defenseless, having no protection, no future, and only devastation. Now, all of us know that is not the condition that we want to be in. We really do want to do what God tells us to do. We really want a happy and joyful life. We really do want to reap abundance. It's a natural thing. I think what we call it in this country is the American dream. We want all the benefits of the American dream. But we also know that being conformed to this world is not the way to get those benefits. So we have to be transformed, and it must begin with repentance. So, oh, God, change me. There's so much about me that I don't like myself and I know is not pleasing to you. So our first prayer, our first thing that we must do is, oh, God, change us. Isaiah 1, 1 through 6 is a message to rebellious Judah. And I'm going to read it to you. I'm actually reading this from the New Living Translation. So if you have the New Living Translation, follow along. If you don't, follow along in your Bible and read it from that one, okay? Listen, O heavens, pay attention, earth. This is what the Lord says. The children I raised and cared for have rebelled against me. Even an ox knows its owner, and a donkey recognizes its master's care. But Israel doesn't know its master. My people don't recognize my care for them. Oh, what a sinful nation they are, loaded down with a burden of guilt. They are evil people, corrupt children who have rejected the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on them. Why do you continue to invite punishment? Must you rebel forever? Your head is injured and your heart is sick. This is one of the many instances that the Lord sent a prophet to tell his people to turn back to their first love. Doesn't that sound familiar to you? We reap what we sow, and we find ourselves in the most vicarious situations and wondering, how in the world did I get there, and why am I with this person, and oh, my God, how do I get out? Oh, it begins with repentance. Let's start there. And as we repent, you know the Lord will lead us out. So in these scriptures, the Lord was urging them and is urging us even now to repent. The word repent in Hebrew is derived from two verbs. The one is shuv, and it means to return. And the other one is nakam, and it means to be sorry. The scripture says, even an ox knows his owner and a donkey his master's care. But my people don't recognize my care for them. I think we've all been guilty of that, not recognizing that the Lord has all things in hand, that he is the one that is in control. And if we would but submit our control of what we think is control, because, you know, the truth is we really don't have any control, even of the things we think we're holding fast to, we don't have any control. So we might as well give it over to our Lord, our Savior, our Creator, who made us and who knows what's best for us. After all, glory to God. So the Greek word to repent is translated to change one's mind and purpose. Glory to God. Repentance is necessary for salvation, and in order to have salvation, we must change our minds. In psych, there's yet another model called the stages of change. You know, psych has models for this and models for that. Well, here's another one. Stages of change. And that first stage is pre-contemplation. In that stage, we are aware that there is a need to change, but perhaps in denial to the need or resistant to the need for change right now. Much like in the parable of the sower and the seed, when the word is preached and our hearts are impenetrable, in that stage, we're stuck. It's as simple as that. We are stuck. The heart is a great deceiver. It fools us into thinking we're okay when we're really not. In Jeremiah 17 and 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked or desperately sick. Who can know it? 1 John 1 and 8, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we all have something that we need to change. Believe that. Proverbs 20 and 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from sin. Who can say that? Really? Ecclesiastes 7 and 20 says, indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous. No one who does what is right and never sins. Think about it. Job 36 and 13 says, the godless in heart harbor resentment. Even when he fetters them, they do not cry for help. Oh, my. Daniel 9 and 13, just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord. We keep plummeting further and further downhill. Things keep happening. Our God is sending warnings from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Our friends are trying to shake us. Angels of the Lord that are ministering to us are shaking us. And still, oh my God, we're in denial. All of this takes us hopefully to the point of repentance when we have looked at our mess and considered our ways and we want to change and we are willing to put in the work to change. In this stage, it is called contemplation. This is our second change in that model, our second stage in that psych model, stages of change, contemplation. When we recognize we are guilty, we are aware of our own madness. In this stage, the problem is identified, and the problem is me. And repentance is now necessary. Oh, God, change me. Over quite a while ago, I did a series entitled The Necessity of Repentance, not realizing what the Lord was going to reveal to me, but certainly giving me a greater understanding of 2 Timothy 2 and 6, where it says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. You know, the Lord has a way of speaking to us, and not always in the way we would expect. And sometimes the way that he speaks to us, especially as leaders, as pastors, as elders, as evangelists, is when he gives us a word. He may not even tell you what you're doing or what you're in the midst of yourself, but he'll give us a word to deliver to the people. And as we receive that word, we recognize, oh, dear God, that's me. Well, wake up, saints. Most of the time, oh, dear God, that's us. So there is a necessity for repentance. In 2 Corinthians 7 and 10, it says godly sorrow brings repentance. And verses 8 through 10, I'm not going to read it all. It shows us the kinds of sorrow that came forth in those scriptures. Please take a look at that yourself. But in that, we saw Paul's momentary regret that he may have been too severe in delivery of correction. The second thing we notice is godly sorrow that works repentance to salvation, changing lives and cleansing sin. The third type of sorrow that we know is worldly sorrow, and that kind of sorrow works death. You're sorry you got caught, sorry you're being corrected, but no real change is being formed or no real change is being wrought. So the six blessings that come forth from godly sorrow, and that's the kind of sorrow that brings repentance, is this. One, it's working a carefulness and an obedience in our hearts. Two, it's clearing us from guilt. Three, indignation and hatred of sin. And we start to look at that thing and realize, oh, wait a minute, this is destroying me. I do not like this. I am not going this way again. And I'm going to warn others not to go in this direction. We hate that sin that brought us into that shame. Number five, we desire to make things right with God, of course. And number six, it gives us a zeal to do the right thing. The example of godly sorrow working repentance is seen in Psalm 51, and I'm sure we're all familiar with that psalm. It's when David, the king of Israel, was found guilty of sinning against God. He didn't make excuses for his sin and repented for the heinous act he had done in attempting to hide his sin from his subjects and ultimately from the face of God. But he instead did rend his heart before God. Glory to God. I'm going to read Psalm 51 to you. Hopefully you're writing down all these scriptures or following along in your Bibles. Perhaps both would be best. Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou breakest may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Glory to God. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall thy offer bullocks upon thine altar. I've read to you Psalm 51. Amen. Let's go back and take a look again at godly sorrow works repentance. And I'm looking at this in the BLB. And the word godly in the Greek is translated theos, and it refers to the true and the living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In short, the Godhead. Sorrow in that scripture in the Greek is translated lupe, and it refers to sorrow or heaviness or grief. Glory to God. Worketh in the Greek is translated katergazome, and it means to perform, achieve, accomplish, to work out, to render one fit. Repentance in the Greek is translated metanoia, and it means to change one's mind and purpose, and I believe we have already talked about that. Salvation in the Greek is translated sotareia, and it means deliverance, preservation, safety, and salvation. A rending of our hearts is taking place in repentance. When we repent to God, we're changing our mind. We're redirecting our purpose, and we're moving toward Him. Glory to God. The Word says if we draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto us. Glory to God. In Joel 2 and 13, it says, "And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth Him of the evil." The word rend is translated kara, and it means to tear into pieces, to rip away, or to make your eyes wide and large, you know, that look we have when we are amazed. Glory to God. Your heart is translated lavav, and it refers to the inner man, our mind, our will, our heart, our soul, our understanding, the innermost parts of us, and not limited to our knowledge and thinking, reflection, memory, inclination, resolution, determination, conscience, moral character, appetites, emotions, passions, and courage. Psalms 34:18, I hope you're writing these down. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 51:17, going back to a portion of Psalm 51, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. This is what godly sorrow that brings repentance does. Isaiah 57:15, for this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Glory to God. Isaiah 66:2 says, has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being, declares the Lord? These are the ones I look on with favor. Okay, now listen to this. These are the ones I look on with favor. Glory to God. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. Glory to God. Just want to go back over a few key notes from David's repentance. He asked God to have mercy on him. He asked God to blot out his transgression. He acknowledged his transgression and his sin before God. He became transparent before God. He wasn't trying to hide anything anymore. Even if he was at first, he wasn't now. So it behooves us, even if we're doing this in our closet by ourselves, to be completely open with God, completely transparent before Him, confessing and acknowledging those things that we have done, those things that we have been that are not godly. Acknowledge those things before God and repent. And let Him know, against Thee and Thee only have I sinned. God desires truth. David said it. Purge me, wash me, hide Thy face from my sins. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy holies and take not. Cast me not away. Two actually things he was saying here. Cast me not away and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, my Lord. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and deliver me, oh God. David went his heart before God. He acknowledged his sin and his ungodly positioning as a sinner. He was transparent before God, ripping away every bit of worldly pride and submitting to God for healing and deliverance. Repentance is necessary for salvation. God, David saw what happens to the king who is stripped of his anointing of God because of his disobedience, because of disobedience to the command of the Lord. He is cursed and he becomes a curse. That's what happened to Saul. David witnessed it himself. So David humbled himself, stripping himself of his kingly robes and stripping his heart in humility to God for forgiveness of his wrongdoing. Oh, what an example we have before us. If God wanted a sacrifice, oh, yeah, we would give it. If he would have done any, I mean, we would have done and he would have done anything to be in right fellowship and have the favor of God again. But God wants instead us to have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Those things he won't despise. Glory to God. Oh, God, change me. Godly sorrow is what brings forth our repentance. So let us repent before the Lord on today that we might be that glorious church that he called us to be, so that we'll be ready when he calls us in the end, when the rapture takes place and the heavens open up and the dead in Christ rise, so that we that remain will follow them into the heavens with the Lord, and we won't miss a beat. Glory to God. Let us not miss our place in God, but let us repent now so that we can have the abundance that the Lord has promised us. He has given us so many promises. And remember, the word says he is not a man that he should lie. So all we have to do is ask. All we have to do is seek. All we have to do is knock and believe that the Lord is going to do exactly what he said. He cannot lie. So he is going to do what he said he's going to do. And we will be what he says we are going to be. And we are already who God says that we are. Stop believing the word of the devil. We don't have to continue on that roller coaster ride. That's the enemy's roller coaster. Get off now. Repent. And go forward in the work that God has given you to do. We are moving forward in the name of Jesus. Even right now, as I speak, we're beginning to move forward. Because I know that you're repenting. I know that you're sorry for the sins that you've committed, and you're sorry that you're not in the place that God has set you in, and you're sorry you haven't commenced in the works that God has given you to do. But today is a new day, and with today comes new mercy. Glory to God. The steadfast love of the Lord, it never ceases. His mercies will never come to an end. And they are new every morning. That's a song I absolutely love and sing often to myself to encourage my own soul, that God's mercy is new every morning, and that I did wrong yesterday, I will not do wrong today. Oh, Lord God, we repent before you, Lord God. We humble ourselves, recognizing, Lord God, that our heart is deceitful and it deceives us all the time. But Lord, we stand right now in the secret place of the Most High, invisible to our enemy. Lord God, that you might cleanse us and make us completely whole by your Spirit, oh Lord God, and that we might work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling before you, recognizing that you never leave us alone at any moment. David said in himself that he once was young and now is old, but never had he seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. We are never alone, even when we feel like we are. Don't be hooked on that feeling. Glory to God, because he is present. He is here to deliver. He is here to heal. He is your God, and you are his child. Oh, glory to God on today. Thank you so much for being with me once again. Glory to God. Amen. And I just want you to go forward in God. Amen. As we just commits doing that he has called us to do. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Move forward now. Glory to God. He is changing you. He is changing us. He is renewing us. He is reviving us. He is restoring us. He is regenerating us. Amen. Till next time, be blessed, be whole, and be amazing.